Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck. Or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge. Upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
KFNC, on Bellevue, Houston, a Gao Media station. ESPN 97.5.
Houston is all systems go!
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
I'm Cody Stutes in for Joel Blank and Barry Laminack here on The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Tyler's in for Nick. And in with us on the HRMP listener line. I guess he's the guest line. You follow him on Twitter, at Astros County. If you don't follow him on Twitter, you're missing out. The daily links are incredible for Astros fans on the Astros County website. The Twitter account is hilarious as well. James from Astros County, our guest. My man, it's been a while. How are you?
Hey, what's up?
That's all you got for me? I give you this
that's
big...
All that's all I got right now. Somehow I managed to find myself like trapped in Walmart, and I'm trying to not sound like an idiot. Like I'm over here by like the paper shredders and stuff with all the other reprobates of society. So,
that's fantastic.
Going all right.
Hey, so do you think that they're going to amputate or cybernetically enhance Yordan Alvarez's leg?
I mean, if you're going to do it right. Like just give that dude bionic legs. I mean, that's really the only tool he's missing. So you might as well take care of that tool and power him up.
When was the last time you were as excited about a prospect as Yordan? Because I was trying to think about it the other day, and I don't know. Like, I felt like he had more buzz than just about anybody we've recently seen. Bregman was pretty exciting, but Yordan was doing it a different way. Who's a guy that was kind of in the realm of discussion for the buzz that Yordan's had recently?
I mean, I was trying to think about that, and I guess, you know, I don't know that I certainly wasn't this excited about Kyle Tucker. I mean, McCullers, but that might be a little bit different. Springer, maybe Correa. I mean, I don't think we knew when Altuve got called up, it's just kind of like, okay, I mean, we know he can hit in the minors, but let's kind of pump the brakes a little bit here. I mean, the dude has a strike zone the size of an iPhone, so let's just see what happens. So maybe Springer or Correa.
James from Astros County, our guest. Here on ESPN 97.5, you got to follow him on Twitter, at Astros County. Hey, who broke Brad Peacock?
Say that one more time. I'm sorry.
Who broke Brad Peacock?
Brad Peacock broke Brad Peacock. I mean, it's to expect him to have like a 1.2 ERA is ridiculous. And we should thank the ghost of Drayton McClain for every good start that he provides and realize that he's a fifth starter at best. When he's on, he's a third starter. That's fine, but that's sort of his range. I think I'd rather have him in the bullpen, but every good start you get out of Brad Peacock, you are just thankful. You are thankful that you were blessed.
Astros County, our guest here, James from Astros County. Can I just call you Astros County? I feel like that's how the folks know you. I know that the Astros County group is more than just you. We'll mix it up here. We'll figure it out as we go along.
Mr. County.
Yes, there we go. If we're not going to do Brad Peacock long term, and there's certainly that fifth spot in the rotation, and I said this earlier, I'm not worried about the American League West, and no one should be. I'm worried about best record in the American League, best record in baseball, and that's what fixing 4 and 5 in this rotation is. It's not Corbin Martin. It's damn sure not Framber Valdez. Like, what? It's obviously a trade, but are there names that you're dying to see them pursue? Are there names that you're kind of interested to see them pursue? Like, what's the move? What's the fix? Would they try calling McHugh again? Like, I'm not sure what they're going to do. Like, there's so many moving parts, and it's so up in the air there.
Yeah, and the thing about, I think we've sort of come to a realization that the front office is going to find the right guy, you know, not just for the team, but for Brent Strom to do some work on. You know, I mean, I think 3 or 4 years ago, if the Astros had signed Wade Miley, you know, we would have gone down 2 Minute Maid with pitchforks and tried to burn the place down. But he's been a pretty good pickup, and I think whoever they get, I mean, if they sign the Pope, you know, to a prorated deal, I think most of us would be like, well, let's see what the Pope's got. I mean, the front office has earned the right to not get criticized immediately, sort of unlike the previous regime. So I don't know that there's any names that I'm dying to see. For one start, it was Corbin Martin. He was the answer. For two starts, it was Framber Valdez. He was the answer. And then things just sort of all, you know, fell apart after that. So they've got to figure something out. And not that they have to do it fast, but, you know, I did expect the Astros to win more than 60% of their games through their first 81. But I didn't expect the Rangers to be 4.5 back. And every time the Rangers win a game, it gives their terrible fan base hope. And that's what we cannot allow to have happen.
James from Astros County, our guest here on The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Cody Stutzen for Barry Laminack and Joel Blank. I'm so glad you mentioned that about the Rangers. That's a nice little drive-by on them. That's fantastic. I made this argument, you know, with the Brent Strom thing, and I think what you say is valid, because it's anybody. If it's Stroman, if it's Bumgarner, if it's, you know, whoever, Tanner Roark, I saw you send a link out about that guy. Like, we just believe in these guys, and like the law of averages kind of works against them. Like, he's fixed all these different relief pitchers, he's fixed all these different starters. Like, doesn't the law of averages tell you the next guy needs to be good on his own, kind of, sort of?
Yeah, I think so. You know, and you know, I remember I talked, I'm not trying to name drop here, but like Kevin Goldstein came on a podcast one time, and we, you know, Pat and I asked him, you know, how much more information do you have that we just don't have access to? We've got Baseball Reference, we've got Fangraphs, we've got all this information, we got Statcast. You know, how much more do you have than we have? He's like, it would blow your mind. We have truckloads more information. So ultimately, you just trust that they have smart people with a really solid analytics department, and you know, they're looking for things that we can't even fathom. And I think, you know, most of us would consider ourselves fairly intelligent baseball fans. That they just have so much more information than we do. So, I mean, whoever they get, you know, it's possible they could turn into Scott Kazmir, but I think we're sort of past that.
James from Astros County, our guest here on The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. So Springer, Brantley, Bregman are all-star starters. Verlander's going to be on the team as well. I'm assuming Gerrit Cole's going to be an all-star. Is there any way Ryan Pressly is not an all-star? Because to me, that guy screams all-star, and there's just no way I think they can leave him off the all-star team.
No, Pressly's totally an all-star.
Okay, good.
And probably Osuna as well. So, I mean, you're looking at the very real possibilities that 7 or 8 of your guys are going to be on the all-star team, which is cool. You know, it's not, that means they're only going to play for an inning, but they're not going to get to go home and just chill for 3 or 4 days. But ultimately, it's a testament to how well this team has played under some pretty ridiculous injury circumstances. So good for them.
James from Astros County, our guest here on ESPN 97.5. So if Pressly makes it, that will have been Will Harris, Chris Devinsky, and Ryan Pressly, who all ended up as all-stars on Brent Strom's watch. And that pretty much confirms that he's the wizard of pitching. Yes?
Yeah, no, he's totally a wizard. I fully expect him to have a hat that he wears, you know, and he only takes it off to come out of the dugout, and he goes back and puts on the big black pointy hat and in between games. And he's got robes. He probably has a cauldron down there underneath, down there in the clubhouse, and everyone just sort of knows, like, you don't mess with the cauldron. So shout out to Brent Strom.
Astros County,
actual
our guest,
wizard.
The actual wizard. You got to follow him on Twitter at Astros County. The website is fantastic, astroscounty.com. Don't forget the podcast too, Lima Time as well. Couple more for you, and then I'll let you get back to looking for paper shredders, which God knows what you might need a paper shredder for. I mean, my goodness. Who are you? Are you worried about anybody in the American League? I mean, I know the Rangers are nipping at the heels, but I don't trust them to catch up. But Yankees, Twins, you know, Rays, if they win the wild card, Red Sox, they win the wild card. Like, who, power rank the worry of the enemies of the Astros.
I guess first would be the Yankees, just because of that lineup. And, you know, they've dealt with some injury issues similar to the Astros. You know, Stanton's out again. But I keep thinking that every game you don't play in the regular season is rest that you have built up for October. So Stanton's going to come back. Now, whether or not he lasts another three at-bats before he gets a different part of his body hurts again. But the Yankees have a pretty solid lineup top to bottom. When everyone's healthy, I still think the Astros have a little bit of an edge there. But I think number one worry is New York. Two is probably Minnesota, just because, you know, their pitching is backing up their pretty impressive offense. The AL, they get to, you know, they have the luxury of playing most of their games in the AL Central, which is a terrible division. And then I guess maybe, so I guess I'd put it Yankees, Twins, Rays, just because of their young pitching, that managed to take care of the Astros that first series of the season.
Yeah, and they just called up fake Otani, too. They have their own fake Otani. They have a little two-way player. Astros County, our guest here on ESPN 97.5. All right, last one here for you, and I'm asking you to make a prediction, and you know, this one's not easy. Justin Verlander, Gerrit Cole, Wade Miley, and blank, who is traded for, are pitching for the Astros in July. Who's that fourth name?
I think that fourth pitcher for the Astros in July is going to be Round Rock's Jose Urquidy. That is my prediction.
Ooh, okay. So no big deal. You don't think they're going to go for the big deal?
Say again?
You don't think they're going to go for the big deal?
No, I think they will. But I think it's going to be closer to July 31st. So I think that they're gonna patch it together, get to the trade deadline. You know, teams basically have a month to figure out who's for real and who is not, and they'll go out and the Astros are not gonna let this season slip away. It's their last season with Gerrit Cole and Verlander at the top of the rotation. They know what they have, and they're gonna do something to improve the team to try to win another World Series. They're not going to trade for someone like freaking Miles Mikolas or some, you know, back end piece. They're going to make a splash and put the rest of the league on notice.
He's Astros County on Twitter. The website is Astros County. The podcast Lima Time, and James from Astros County. Always love catching up with you, talking a little baseball, and maybe we do this again here sometime soon.
Hey, that sounds good. I appreciate it.
All right, good stuff from James from Astros County. I think the line of the interview was that Jose Altuve has the strike zone the size of an iPhone. I chuckled heartily about that one. Good stuff from James from Astros County. Let's get into some of the things that he had to say. I've got some names for us to watch over the next few weeks to see if the Astros might be interested in those guys. Not so many bullpen arms, but more starting pitching. So I got some names for us to watch. Let's get into that and much more. I'm Cody Stutes in for Joel Blank and Barry Laminack here on The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
You gonna answer? to this?
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. ACA could be tweaked, reformed, or repealed in the future. But for now, employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help. Is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
No Joel Blank, no Barry Laminack, no Nick Sciarra. Tyler's in for Nick. I'm Cody Stutz in for Joel and Barry. And sitting in with us now, you hear him each and every day on ESPN 97.5, on John, Raheel, and Dell, and sometimes Lance. It's Raheel Ramzanali.
What's up, buddy?
What's up, man?
How you doing?
It's Friday. You should be home by now.
I was doing the podcast. I was doing the Raheel and Jose Show podcast, which you can get anytime you want. It's up and available right now. Find it on iTunes. Subscribe, rate, and review.
Okay.
Unsubscribe and rate and review again.
That's how you get the. That's how you climb the charts.
Yeah,
is that what all Joe Rogan's people do?
No, they just subscribe.
They just subscribe, and then he just gets massive numbers.
That's what Barstool does.
Is that what they do?
That's what Pardon My Take tells their award-winning listeners to do.
They unsubscribe and then resubscribe every day.
And then rate and review.
Gotcha.
And rate and review.
I'll have to listen to them one day. I tried them like 2 years ago, and it was good.
I feel like at this point, I'm so far behind on all the inside jokes that I'm not going to catch up.
That's a good point. But our podcast, the Raheel and Jose Show podcast, no inside jokes. In fact, there's no material. We just talk. So if you're just like, man, this is kind of boring, it's the podcast for you. No, make sure you check it out. Cody, you've been on it.
I have been on it a couple different times.
We talked about your fitness journey.
Yep.
And how you failed.
Correct.
And how you don't get back into the gym. So this is basically an intervention.
Oh, this is what it is?
I'm hijacking your show with an intervention.
Surprise intervention?
Yep. You said you were going to go work out. You didn't go work out.
The usual suspect guys always call me fat, so they'll be happy.
He had gluten-free pizza today.
Really?
Yeah. Gluten-free cauliflower crust pizza.
Gluten-free is great when you're already in shape.
Yeah.
Okay. Gluten-free is good because you're optimizing something that you already have. You, my friend, gluten-free is just like...
I need to stay away from carbs.
Yes, you need to go carb-free for a little bit, right? Why don't you... You did the weight loss challenge with the usual suspects.
Oh, yeah.
Did you drop out?
I mean, I never like did like a final check-in.
Terrible.
Yeah, bad deal by me.
Terrible.
No question about that.
A man as successful as you. You keep dropping the ball.
Successful. News to me.
Relative success. Everything's relative. Everything's relative. Yeah. Oh. I saw you doing the show, so I just want to jump in.
Yeah, for
sure. It's not an intervention. I've already tried before. It's not going to work.
I think the thing is I'm not at my lowest point yet.
That's a good. Well, you are filling in for the usual suspects. That's pretty low. I'm joking, Joel. I'm joking, Barry.
He's in Disney. Barry's on his way to... Arkansas. They're not listening.
I'm joking, guys. No, but their listeners will tell them.
Oh, that's a good point.
Yeah.
Somebody run and snitch on Twitter.
Yeah. So I'm just joking, guys. I apologize. So there's that. So what's happening?
Nothing, man. It's been just I don't get this Rockets approach.
I don't either.
I don't understand it.
They're so vocal about this. They're so public about everything now, which for us, it's awesome.
Yes.
Storylines, it's amazing, right? D'Antoni, everything with him. I've never seen contract details so public before with an NBA coach.
Yes.
With an NFL coach. Do you remember any bonuses leaking that much?
No.
Like every detail was out there. And whether it be his side or the Rockets side that leaked it, it leaked.
They treated him... for those who don't know, D'Antoni's agent is like a mega agent.
Yes.
Like he's one of the most important agents in the NBA. Like half the league's coaches are his clients. So, like, for that, to treat that guy that way, like, that's a very interesting misstep by Tillman, Fertitta, Daryl Morey, and Tad Brown.
And Tillman apologized. He's like, I shouldn't have done it as public as it was. Fine. It's learning. Hey, look, he's learning as well, right? And now it's become so public, whether it be, again, the Rockets leaking it, the Sixers leaking it, Jimmy Butler's camp leaking it. I don't know who's leaking it, but the fact that, I think it was Daryl who I think openly, Shams even talked about this, that everyone's available for trade.
Correct.
You don't have to go far back too much to recognize that when you openly offer people up and the trade doesn't go down, the deal doesn't go down, you can lose a team very fast, a la Lakers.
And they play so loose with it. Think about all the people they've been in on in Daryl Morey's time. You go all the way back to Bosch, Carmelo, LeBron. They were in on Durant. They were in on Paul George. They wanted Jimmy Butler this past year. Now they want Jimmy Butler again. And then along the lines of what you're saying, who lets this out? I don't know. But Mark Stein, like 25 minutes ago, said the Rockets have a trade partner, believe they have a trade partner for Clint Capella, but won't deal Capella unless they're getting Jimmy Butler. Like, how does Clint Capella feel about that?
Yeah. Tough luck, Clint Capella, by the way.
By the way, we have heard nothing about how the 76ers feel about dealing Jimmy Butler to the Rockets.
Yeah.
Nothing. We've heard nothing about the 76ers and their vibes and feeling on Jimmy Butler. And the Rockets are out here like, well, yeah, we want Jimmy Butler.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, well, we'll just sign and trade for him. Like, Philadelphia has to say yes.
Well, I saw your tweet about that. I saw your tweet about that. Here's the thing. If they've gotten any kind of indication that Jimmy Butler's not coming back, all right, if they, you know, you can kind of feel out a guy like he's going to be there. Like, the Raptors right now at this point, they probably feel pretty good that, sure, he's taking meetings with people, but we have a good feeling that Kawhi might be coming back, and we're okay with it. If the Sixers have gotten any kind of indication, then they might be the ones who are throwing out a little, you know, a few stories about the sign and trade, trying to get pieces back, because you don't want to lose them for anything because you traded, right, for him. You traded so much for him. You want something in return.
Right.
So that's why the Sixers would be willing to do this, because they just want something back. The other part is Jimmy would have to agree, like, yeah, I do want to, by the way, I will opt in and help you guys out.
Yeah.
Jimmy doesn't have to do that.
No, he doesn't have to. He doesn't have to opt in and help him out. He doesn't have to do the sign-in trade and help him out. And the 76ers don't have to help him out. And look, we could be, it's a razor-thin margin between what the 76ers could do with Eric Gordon and a little bit of cap space, or what they could do with a lot of cap space if Jimmy just leaves them.
Yeah.
And like, it's what you, it's whatever your preference is. Like, and I know that people are saying, oh, well, they're going to get an ass, they're going to get some picks and stuff like that. Doesn't matter. The 76ers are trying to win now. Like, they're trying to be good now. They were one game away from being the eventual champions. Like, the thought that they would let Jimmy Butler leave, if there's any chance he'd come back, is just crazy.
Yeah.
It's just crazy. And then none of this matters if Kawhi goes to L.A. with the Lakers. Like, nothing else matters.
That's a scary team.
That's the biggest super team in the history of the NBA.
I don't know about the history of the NBA.
No. Who has an argument?
I will say the Golden State Warriors. 73-9, and you added, yeah, you lost championship. You lost, you blew a 3-1 lead, and you added the greatest score of this generation.
But did they? I mean, I guess
and
if you're looking
at basketball, the team basketball, the system that they implement was and still is built to win.
If you're looking at just the top three, you're looking at just the top three, I'm right. If you're looking at the team, you're right. Because in addition to Clay, KD, and Steph, they also had Iggy and Draymond, and there will not be an Iggy and a Draymond for LeBron, AD, and Kawhi. Kuzma's nice, but he's not Draymond.
Nope.
He's not Iguodala yet. Now, he might end up being really nice, and they seem to think that because they're keeping him. But, I mean, those four dudes and then a bunch of guys that are probably like, oh, we're going to get a championship. Like, you still got to put it together, by the way. Like, you still got to have Vogel and Kidd coach that thing up.
And that's the other thing is, by that point, the system was already in place. It was working. Steve Kerr had already won a championship.
Yeah.
And there were things in place. You don't know what's in place. Like, I don't know how this Lakers team are. AD, who's a great defender. LeBron, not as good of a defender, but can be. Kawhi, the premier defender. Are they enough to carry them to that attitude that a Frank Vogel team usually has, which is a great defensive team,
right?
Grimy team, right? Or is it like, okay, these three guys are doing it, but nobody else is? I don't know. I don't know what that system's going to look like. And that's why I don't think it's going to be the greatest super team ever. And also, they have a piece that isn't for today's NBA. I love Anthony Davis, but is he for today's NBA?
If your team doesn't have any wings and guards, like you need, it's a wing guard league. Like it's a wing guard league, and Anthony Davis, like, maybe you're trying to buck the trend there, but even Draymond, like, his usefulness was not because he was a big. His usefulness was because he could guard a bunch of different positions, yep. hit a three every now and then facilitate.
Yep.
AD's not a facilitator.
AD is a hell of a player.
Hell of a player, but not a facilitator.
So what was your statement again? The greatest? They would be the greatest trio?
I think it'd be the greatest first three guys on a roster ever. I think that the build-out will be very interesting because they're going to need a lot of help in all those other spots.
Man. Greatest trio is hard.
But that's going to be, there's obviously some Lakers runs and some Celtics runs where you had some really good players. The Rockets for a while had a really solid 1-2-3.
Yep, Capella, Chris Paul, Harden.
No.
Hamstring away.
Hamstring away.
They were a hamstring away.
Oh, man. That's for Hill, Rams, and Ollie. You going to hang around for a little bit more or you going to head out of here?
No way. I'm out.
Okay. Raheel's gone. Follow him on Twitter @_Raheel. Check out the podcast as well. I'm Cody Stutz here for Joel Blank, Barry Laminack here on ESPN 97.5.
Sam Windsor with the Houston Sabercats here. Even when I'm down under, I'm listening to ESPN 97.5 on the app. You can stream the boys from anywhere. Mate.
Yo, I was a fiend before I became a teen. I melted microphones instead of cones of ice cream music.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
I'm Cody Stutz in for Joel Blank, Barry Laminack here on ESPN 97.5, @Cody_Stutz on Twitter. Tyler is in for Nick Sciarra as well. Don't forget to follow Tyler @TylerDrewScott on Twitter as well. 713-780-3776 is the HRMP listener line. It's also the number you can text. There's some texts in. We'll get to that. But Dallas Shaq wants to weigh in on some basketball. What do you got for us, my man?
Well, I got a question to ask you. Do you think CP3 is going to leave the Rockets?
Appreciate the call. No, I don't think he's going to leave the Rockets. I think whatever was out there about him and Harden not getting along, there's definitely some truth to it. Too many people had it for there not to be some truth to it. But I think they smoothed it over. I think they fixed it. And Chris Paul looks up and realizes, look, if I get dumped, if I don't make this work and they just send me somewhere in a salary dump, I'll never play for an NBA championship. Do you realize Chris Paul is on the cusp of being one of the best players in NBA history to never play in an NBA championship, to never play in a finals? Hell, before the Rockets, he never played in the Western Conference Finals. Like, he's on the cusp of that. And I think Chris Paul looks around and says, okay, if I don't make it work with James Harden, if I don't make it work with this team, I'm getting dumped somewhere, and I'm not going to have a chance to win, and I'm not ever going to play in a finals, and I'm not ever going to win a championship. And then I go down in a pantheon of great players that had just some really nice seasons, played on some pretty good teams, and that's it. And think about the list of guys who don't have championships who we think are great. Barkley, Malone, Stockton, those guys played for ships. Those guys played in NBA Finals. Chris Paul might not ever play in an NBA Finals. I'll say this for his status, though. If he's going to play in an NBA Finals before his career is over, then he's going to play in an NBA Finals for the Houston Rockets. Because if, for whatever reason, he moves on from the Rockets, in whatever situation he moves on from, he's not moving to a team that is set up and good and ready to compete. He's going to be moving to a team that's happy to have Chris Paul there and is going to sell a couple of t-shirts, sell a couple of tickets, maybe have a bobblehead night, and get a couple of extra butts in the seats. It's not going to be for a team that is a championship contender. So, no, I don't think Chris Paul's leaving. I do believe that there was something there, too much smoke for there to be no fire. But I think Paul got over it. I think Harden got over it. 713-780-3776 is the number to call. HRMP listener line. 713-780-3776 is the number to text as well. The Rockets are like a teenage girl with all of their drama. If you're wondering sort of what they're referencing, Mark Stein reported about half hour ago that the Rockets believe they have a trade partner for Clint Capela, but do not intend to deal Clint Capela unless they're getting Jimmy Butler from the 76ers in a sign and trade. And if you're Clint Capela, you got to just feel, I mean, you're getting paid. Yes, and I know people on Twitter have said that to me. Oh, well, what does he care? He's getting paid. Right. Just because you're getting paid doesn't mean that it feels good that a team's like, hey, by the way, we can't win a championship with you, so we're moving on. Like, the money in this situation doesn't solve everything. And by the way, you're not even going to Philadelphia, who we think is pretty close to competing for a championship in the East. You're probably getting dumped to some team who's not very good. Like, does Clint Capela want to make the money he's scheduled to make this year playing for the Rockets? Or does Clint Capela want to make the money he's scheduled to make this year playing for the Kings? Yeah, I think he wants to make that money playing for the Rockets. Now, if there's some other teams, somehow Clint Capela ends up in, say, Boston with the Celtics, I think that's fine for him. They could use him. Kimba, Tatum, Brown, Capela, that's a nice team in the East. You're competing right away. Good coach. But if you're Capela, you're getting dumped somewhere. You're getting thrown to the wayside for Jimmy Butler. It doesn't feel good. It's not fun. I asked on Twitter, what do you think Clint Capela feels when he reads this? Someone goes, who cares about his feelings? Someone should. It's going to affect him somehow, some way. And I know PJ Tucker said this week in The Athletic, and it's a really good interview with Sam Amick. It's a business. That's how we need to operate. That's how we need to take these things. Yeah, it is a business. For PJ Tucker, who's been on a couple of different teams and had to fight his way to the top and is finally getting the recognition salary-wise that he deserves and that he's earned. For Clint Capela, you were a draft pick. They believed in you, brought you in, helped you grow, helped you elevate your game. Like, that stinks. That stinks that they would say, hey, by the way, you're just a number. We're getting rid of you. And we are trying to upgrade because we didn't think we could win with you. That's not fun. That's not fun. So lots of stuff going on with the NBA. It feels like a new piece of information pops up like every hour, every half hour. So we'll keep you up to date if anything happens there. The HRMP listener line is 713-780-3776 is the number. Couple things I still want to get to. Some history that we need to celebrate today. We'll get to that next. Celebrate some history. I spent way too many hours on this project, and I kind of figured something out that proves that Houston has had it pretty good in their sports history, even though the championships haven't all shown up for the various teams. So we'll get to that as well. Astros wish list for pitchers that they could trade for probably now and get, and a lot more to get to today. I'm Cody Stutes in for Barry Laminack, Joel Blank, on The Usual Suspects here on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 90. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
I'm Cody Stutes in for Joel Blank, Barry Laminack here on ESPN 97.5. Tyler Scott's in for Nick Sciarra. Got another hour plus to go. Lots to get to. Had a lot of fun already. Astros County was fantastic when he stopped by just after 2. Real Ramzanali popped in for a little. Always check out the podcast page. Just go over to ESPN 97.5. You can find your favorite podcast. I very much encourage you to go to the podcast page for wherever the interview with Nikki Glaser is this morning. I guess that's probably on Granato Rahil with Dell. But Nikki Glaser was incredible this morning. Just, I think, close to 30 minutes worth of just joke after joke. And don't listen with your kids. I guess I'll put it that way. It was primo. So don't miss that on the podcast. If you missed it this morning, go back and listen to that podcast as well. All right. Let's take a little trip down memory lane here on The Usual Suspects. 12 years ago today, this happened. This happened.
The computer's freezing. Sorry.
The computer froze on this day.
And I just got Audition just stopped working.
Okay, good. That sounds like something that we may need to be working, and in fact, it is not working.
Let me pull it up in my email.
Okay. So we'll take our little trip down memory lane from 12 years ago on this day in just a moment. In just a few moments. Technology. Can't live with it. Can't live without it. Well, we got it now?
We had it.
All right.
Okay.
12 years ago today, this happened.
Line drive right center field. That's number 3,000. And he drives in a run. And he's going for second. Tavares with the throw. He's out, but that's 3,000 hits for Craig Biggio. It ties the ball game. He arrived 20 years ago from Smithtown, New York, with Texas-sized dreams. And now, as he's mobbed by his teammates, those dreams have become reality.
That's how it sounded 12 years ago today when Biggio got 3,000. And let me tell you, I was happy for him, and I was furious at the same time. Because I had 6 tickets to the game the next night. And here's the kicker. Here's the best part about having 6 tickets to the next game. Is only 4 people were going in our crew. So we had 2 tickets, 2 awesome seats that we were going to sell and make a handsome penny on. And then Craig Biggio went and got 3 hits. And got 3,000 the night before we had.
So the night before he hit 3,000, I actually drove. I can't remember if I was in Milwaukee at that time or if I was driving back from Milwaukee then. But I was up there for the summer, and we went to the Astros Brewers series when he was at 2,998, then 99, and we thought that he was going to hit 3,000 there, and then we realized, oh wait, they're playing a home series after this one, so they rested him the game that we went to, and then the next day, or 2 days later, he hits 3,000.
Oh, brutal. Brutal. Yeah. Not only does he hit 3,000, he goes 5-for-6 that night. 5-for-6 that night against the Rockies. And Craig Biggio gets himself 3,000. So I went and scalped those tickets the next day for about half of what they were worth to recoup a little bit. And then I got my buddies to pay me back for their tickets. So I actually made a little bit of coin on it in the long run. But I was a little upset by Biggio getting that hit. But I was happy for him. 3,000. Okay, so this is a... I spent... And Biggio had me thinking about this, and then Drew Brees had me thinking about this too. Drew Brees, if you didn't see, sent an autographed Drew Brees jersey to Zion Williamson saying, the torch is yours, I'm passing the torch to you, whatever. I thought that was a really cool gesture because Brees has been the dude in New Orleans for a long time, pretty much since he got there. And then prior to that, I mean, was it Deuce McAllister or something like that? I don't know. Like it, New Orleans did not have a lengthy history of dudes, and certainly not any that had long reigns as the guy. So I got to thinking about it, and I was trying to think about if the Houston sports landscape had like a sports torch, and they were passing it from person to person in the Houston sports landscape throughout all those years. Where kind of did it start? Who had it over the course? And while Drew Brees has had it for a long time in New Orleans and hands it to Zion, there's a ton of Houston guys that have a legit claim at being the, you know, sports torchbearer, so to speak. So I spent way too much time last night researching the Oilers, Texans, Astros, Rockets, and I even included the Houston Cougars in there. And just like combining and seeing who the overlap on all those were. And so I think I've got basically the lineage, the path that the Houston sports torch has traveled. Okay, I think I've nailed this down. And if I get some of them wrong, please let me know. 713-780-3776 is the number. But I think I've traced this back. And here we go. Let's see if I can get us all the way to current. And if not, we can figure out the rest here. I started with basically George Blanda and the Oilers. You know, AFL champions. Blanda's like one of those legendary old guys that everybody tells you is really good, but only like three people that you know have actually ever seen him play. So Blanda was the first guy, the sports torch bearer. And then some combination over the next couple years of Elvin Bethea, Curly Culp, and Dr. Doom. Dr. Doom won defensive rookie of the year when he was on the Oilers. Culp was a future Hall of Famer when he got here. And then Bethea is obviously a Hall of Famer as well. So those guys kind of, you know, whoever you wanted to pick out of that crew, I didn't watch those teams. I wasn't around for those teams. So just that group of guys right there. Bill Yeoman in the middle of the 70s had a two or three really good UH teams. So I'm going to go to Yeoman right there. And then we get into the run that is the most interesting and dominant. Because Yeoman hands it off to Earl Campbell, who's a freaking monster from day one. Offensive rookie of the year, fantastic for the Oilers. So Earl Campbell has it from 78 to 81. In 81, for 1 year, he hands it to Nolan Ryan. So Nolan's the torch guy for 1 year. And then Nolan hands it for 1 year to Moses Malone, who's fresh off a finals run and then wins the MVP award. And then Moses hands it back to Nolan for the next 3-4 years. And to that point, Earl's the longest reign and then Nolan's the longest reign. And then there's a couple years, and you're going to think I'm crazy when I say this. There's a couple years there that the sports torch is in Ralph Sampson's hands. And you're like, what? But I went and looked. Nolan's stats, the Astros record, Ralph Sampson, and how well he played. That's probably going to be the one I get the most argument on. But Ralph Sampson for a very short amount of time. He was averaging like 20 and 12, 22 and 12. Like he was a monster. Of course, they're bad enough to get Hakeem. And then Hakeem very quickly takes over for Ralph. So again, I got the idea for this from New Orleans because Drew Brees has been the dude in New Orleans for a long time, you know, passing the sports torch, so to speak, to Zion. I've gone through like a bunch of different names already for the Houston landscape, and we're not even to the late 80s yet. Like, there are some monster athletes that came through here. And New Orleans is over here like, yeah, we had Drew Brees. And now we got Zion. It's like, great. I'm not even done yet. And I've already surpassed, like, whatever New Orleans had to offer. So while the championships haven't been here, we've had it pretty good. So from Hakeem, we go to Andre Ware. He wins the Heisman. Okay, obviously. And then it is a dominant stretch that no one's touching Hakeem. Andre Ware wins the Heisman. We go to Hakeem, and it's Hakeem for a good stretch. Hakeem eclipsing Jeff Bagwell's MVP year when the Astros would have won the World Series if there wasn't a strike. Hakeem eclipsing anything that UH did. Hakeem eclipsing anything that the football team did. And there were some decent Oilers teams then. And eclipsing anything the Astros were doing, including an MVP season from Bagwell. That's how good Hakeem was for that stretch, like right after Andre Ware to like the mid-90s. And I'll pick it up and finish the tour, the journey that the Houston Sports Torch has taken. And we'll do that next. I'm Cody Stutes in for Joel Blank, Barry Laminack here on The Usual Suspects. Tyler's in for Nick Sciarra as well. And we got one more to go here on The Usual Suspects, then we'll hand it over to The Blitz here on ESPN 97.5.
Como madre orgullosa, siempre quiero lo mejor para mi familia. Y los únicos huevos que compro son Eggland's Best. ¿Casualidad? Para nada. No importa cómo los cocines, siempre están frescos y deliciosos. Además, tienen más vitaminas D y E y un 25% menos de grasas saturadas que los huevos comunes. ¿Por qué conformarse con menos cuando puedes tener lo mejor? Eggland's Best. Mejor sabor, mejor nutrición, mejores huevos. Visita egglandsbest.com para obtener más información.